Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that
everybody
in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right. 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 All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It is 3 and Out, Thursday edition of the program. We're driven by Toyota Knoxville, Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson. And it's still a pretty good week on Rocky Top. Things are running smoothly. Some things are melting down some other places that are not so liked in these parts.
Soak it all in.
And that basketball team rolls in on Saturday. Hopefully, for a butt-whooping. Hopefully, our volunteers can make that happen.
Alabama did get the win last night on the road at Missouri.
They're 0-3.
Missouri, 0-3 in the league.
Vanderbilt, also 0-4, 0-4-4, actually. 0-4 in the league, 0-4 in the league.
What?
Sorry. Well, I was going to say also, but it's not really also, because they're not just 0-3, they're 0-4.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
0-4, yeah.
And just like everybody expected, it was South Carolina who's now undefeated and tied with Tennessee at the top of the conference. The Gamecocks were 5-7 in non-conference play and have since won every SEC game they've played. That includes road wins over Florida and at home over a pretty good Mississippi State team.
Again,
hilarious.
Just like we all expected.
Right.
Knew it. Planned it. Called it. Shame on anyone for doubting South Carolina.
They lost to Stony Brook and Wofford by 20.
They were laying the trap. They were setting the trap, and everybody so far in the SEC has walked right into it.
Idiots. It's called the long con.
Yeah.
I watched about 10 minutes of them play Clemson at some point a long time ago and haven't seen them since. I did read where maybe they had a player out for a while and now he's back or something. I don't know. But still, very, very strange.
It's always big. It's always big when you get back a horse.
But
right,
Alabama,
before the race starts.
Alabama is going to be, I guess, the toughest test out of these last couple for Tennessee. And 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. But that's not where I wanted to start the show today. Not Alabama basketball. How about that Alabama football staff? Tosh Lapoy says, you know what? All the offensive guys are gone. I think I'll just take this chance to head on to the National Football League.
Mm.
Take my talents to Cleveland.
I'm sure Saban's having no problem whatsoever right now down there. No problem at all. He probably didn't even really care, did he? Surely he didn't really even care.
Well, that was a story that I guess we could have gotten to yesterday, but we just didn't. Kind of ran out of time on that one. Josh Gattis.
Yeah, like when Gattis leaves, like Nick Saban's not even. He's probably like, all right, man. Or more like, all right, man. See ya. Thanks for everything you did. Where's my coach in Rolodex? Who do I call?
Apparently,
who am I after now?
Apparently it was a 20-minute tongue-lashing from Nick Saban to Josh Gattis about leaving. At the time, he was leaving for Maryland. He came in to tell Coach Saban, hey, I'm leaving for Maryland. And, like, I don't even understand. Well, he said Saban tried to talk him into staying. But it kind of reminds me of Lane Kiffin. and Alshon Jeffrey. It's like, come to our school, come to our school, come to our school. Like, talk them into coming, or in this case, staying. And then at some point at the end, when you know it's not going to work, fine, go pump gas somewhere else.
Yeah, it's the scorned lover.
So now it's Nick Saban saying, fine, go to Maryland with Loxley. Be a loser.
20 minutes to say that?
Well, he spent a lot of time. It was both. Trying to talk him into staying and then turning on him at the end.
But then he gets in his office and gets the call from where?
Michigan.
That's right, Michigan.
Yes.
And then he goes to Michigan.
Jim Harbaugh. Maybe Harbaugh is just a great recruiter and just can't coach, because apparently he got Gattis to come there in 3 to 4 hours. That was the entire time. I mean,
it's
from like first phone call to MOU signed or whatever, you know, whatever got it to be done, 3 to 4 hours that day.
That's a hell of a job recruiting.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why Saban spent 20 minutes trying to talk him into stay. Maybe he's kind of flippant, you know, maybe he's not. Maybe Gattis is kind of wishy-washy.
They thought he had a chance. thought he could just maybe. Yeah, Saban's probably real good at the sweet talk. I bet he thought he could. I bet he thought he could just make it happen.
The craziest stat I saw was that this is the second straight year Alabama has lost 6 coaches on their staff. So
yeah,
last year
this is catching up with them, I'm afraid.
Last year they lost 6. This year they lost 6 more. Now obviously some of those 6 they lost this year could have been guys that were with them last year, but just every year to lose 6 guys. I mean, so what's Tennessee going to be at this year? That's the latest. Charles Kelly is being targeted by Mike Loxley to head to Maryland.
For the DC job.
For the defense coordinator job. So Tennessee's looking at losing, what, 2? Is there another one? Am I missing anybody? One's got to go now, if it's not Kelly, someone else, so that T. Martin can join the staff. And then obviously you lost Tyson Helton. Well, I mean, from the statistical standpoint,
that was a change. That was a chess move.
All right.
We sacrificed the queen and got the king. Bang.
That's not a good trade. You don't want another king.
That's what it is.
In chess.
I just told
you. Do
you
play chess?
No, we got their king. We sacrificed our queen and got their king. Because it was our queen, Helton. It was their king.
Well, you don't take the king. You just...
Yeah, we took...
You trap the king, and that's the end of the game.
Right, but it was a checkmate.
Okay.
So we sacrificed the queen to set up checkmate, which
Georgia's checkmate.
If you continue the game and finish it as it's supposed to be played in real life, kill the king.
All right.
Or, you know, or capture him and use him as your own king, which is what we're doing with Chaney. We captured their king. I'm talking about Georgia now.
Okay.
No one knows chess better than me. Okay? Just know that. Mm-hmm. I just nailed the chess reference.
I think Helton was more of a bishop.
Okay, you can probably use a different name other than queen. I just used queen.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Going back to the talks of Alabama staff with Gattis leaving,
Maybe we don't want to do that. Maybe we wanted to keep talking chess.
I mean, you can, but...
I love chess.
I don't know if the listeners are wanting that conversation to continue.
We should start a chess podcast.
I don't like it when you do that.
Speak the truth?
No.
Act like you know what the listeners want.
Yeah. Like, you would talk Duke and Titans all day if you could. Like, okay, well, say whatever you want to say about Alabama. Go ahead.
Okay.
Whatever.
What I was going to say is, when Gattis left, he might have been under the impression that Enos was going to likely get at least a co-part of the offensive coordinator job. And it's also interesting because... whenever Enos decided to leave, you lost both offensive coordinators at that point, or soon to be candidates for your offensive coordinator position. But the most interesting news that came out for me yesterday is that one Lyle Butch Jones is expected to stay on Alabama's coaching staff for next season.
I jokingly didn't put Alabama in my playoff picks to start the year because I said, with Butch Jones, there's just no way that Alabama gets back to the playoff. I mean, it was tongue-in-cheek at the time. But, I mean, the tweets just write themselves now. Like, the national championship game, they can't get it done. He's on camera a lot more than, like, I know, and I get it. I get it if you don't even want to hear us talk about him anymore. But I also get it when people notice anytime he's on the sideline, if you're watching an Alabama game. And, I mean, I watched the SEC championship game. I'm sure I watched a handful of other Alabama games during the season. Like, anytime they played a good opponent, I at least watched a portion of the game. I remember watching them play Texas A&M because that game was at least close for a while. I know I watched at least the first half of their Missouri game because that was like 10-10 at the end of the first quarter. I don't remember Butch Jones being so much in the camera space until the Natty when it all fell apart. So maybe that's just wishful thinking, but it's kind of still a joke, but it is kind of ironic.
I think it's important to note that he was reported to have taken a job as the tight ends coach at Maryland.
Yeah.
And I think he got told he didn't have that job anymore. Like, he flew to Baltimore last week. Like, we have the picture from the plane.
Right.
So he went to Baltimore. Is it possible that Loxley interviewed him and just said, no? Do you think he turned down a tight ends job at Maryland to stay a $35,000 a year analyst? I mean, obviously he's still getting paid. It doesn't really matter.
Or is he making a play where he realized that everybody was leaving Alabama and
does he think he's in line to like get receivers or something? Okay.
I mean, that's what the rumor is. That's what people are reporting. But just like the Maryland tight ends thing, no one really knows. Like people are saying that looks like it might happen, but nobody really knows if Nick Saban's actually going to give him the wide receiver's job or something more or different.
The biggest news for me about Tosh Lapoy.
It's not that hard.
What
is that? He, in my opinion, is their best recruiter.
He was very good. That's what Saban did with this last staff. He put together a staff that could recruit because he got scared about Georgia coming in and taking all the talent. And then they got out-coached like the Dickens against Clemson.
They're still going to be able to recruit, but if there's guys that they're trying to get in on late right now, I have a feeling that's going to affect them. I thought he was the only reason they would end up getting Henry Tioto. It's looking a little shaky now.
Have you seen that some crystal balls? Well, I know one went.
Starting to roll in for the Big Orange.
Maybe a second one for the really talented linebacker.
You don't want to go down there. I've been down there. All those guys are leaving because he's a jerk. Come up here and play for me. I know where your high school is.
Is he the West Coast guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
De La Salle.
I mean, Kevin Simon doing a little working behind
pipelines.
The scenes.
Let's
we do
go.
Have a pipeline.
California.
It is a pipeline.
Outside of Tennessee and
McKenzie
Alabama.
McKenzie played there for a little bit too.
All the other main schools that he is looking at are on the West Coast. Mm. So this is definitely a situation where it's far away from home. He's probably going to be looking for some stability, at least as far as the coaching staff. A lot of people, I mean, we talk about it. Whenever they go to a school, they want to have familiarity with the coach. I mean, that's typically one of the main reasons that players commit to a school is because they've developed those relationships with the coaching staff. In Alabama, I mean, it's just constant turnover. Granted, there are those players that just know going to Alabama you're going to win a lot of games, have a really good shot at playing in a national championship, and then likely be going to the pros after 3 or 4 years.
There are two crystal balls for Tennessee now.
Yes. He was at 100% last week.
Out of 10, there are two for Tennessee. 80% Alabama, 20% Tennessee.
You got that right.
The worm is turning.
So there are 10 crystal balls total, because that's what it was at.
Yes.
Whenever he, I'm walking people through this.
He just said that.
I know, but
like verbatim said there are 10.
Okay.
And then he did 80%, 20%.
Which is funny because people can do percentages.
No, it's
like
not
10.
That.
He just walked him through
okay,
that.
Okay, what I'm saying is he has not gained any new crystal balls. All the crystal balls that were for
yes,
Alabama
he flipped
have
two.
Switched.
Yeah.
They don't know that.
So all you had
it's
to,
not a lot of people
just,
are following
just
this
start
situation.
There.
All you had to say was well, and that doesn't include any new crystal balls. That means two of the ones for Alabama flipped to Tennessee. It's fine. He was already making fun of me for doing basic math for the listener who can obviously
that's
do
2 out of 10.
10% math. Like
that's 20%.
I'm
like doing 10% math out
if you drop,
of 10.
If you drop the
that.
Fraction, it's 1/5.
Very, very good.
Yeah. I'm a math guy. Math and chess, those are my things.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
People who know me know that.
Right.
People who know me, they know. Math and chess. Oh, my room is full of chess boards and abacuses.
Don't forget baseball.
Yeah, well, they're all similar.
Yeah, lots of stats and math and baseball.
Lots of stats and math and, you know, strategy.
Chess
it's
moves.
A thinking man's game.
It is.
They
That's
say that
they
about
say.
Both chess and baseball.
Yep.
And math.
Okay.
It's a thinking man's game. Some people see math as a game. I do because I love it so much.
Some people see it as just real science.
Right, but if you find the fun in it, it's. I mean, everything is real in science. Baseball is real in science. It's physics and, you know, trigonometry, things like that. See, I'm well versed in all these things. I tone it down on the radio. Mm. You know, I don't want to come off as preaching from the high cast.
Too uppity.
Yeah, you understand.
Right.
That's why kings get overthrown.
Are you? if
checkmate.
How would you grade Tennessee's special teams this past year? And if they lose their special teams coach, do you think that has any impact on next year?
It was fine. It was fine. Can I just say fine?
Sure.
I don't remember any catastrophic special teams plays.
Didn't
I also
fake
don't
any punts that, you know, gave you no chance to then
no,
win a game.
I also don't remember any where you broke a game wide open on special teams.
No.
Am I missing one?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Kickers seemed to have good mentalities.
Kickers were good. Samaglia was good.
They didn't.
Paxton Brooks punted fine, or he didn't punt. Joe Doyle, excuse me.
Yeah,
Joe Doyle rules. He was fine. He was good.
You didn't have that game where like the kicker clanks an extra point off the upright and then misses three field goals and you lose. Like it seems like college teams a lot of times it happens.
Well, we weren't in a lot of close games.
That's also true.
So, but we didn't miss any.
We didn't get those onside kicks. But they were drawn up well.
I was
so
gonna say,
sure.
yeah, maybe we didn't, but they all were. They were right there.
Mm-hmm.
They were right there.
Not
maybe
sure
if
how to grade that.
Maybe if Charles Kelly had spent a little more time talking to the return guys, the hands guys, he could have said, "Hey, one of you guys needs to remember to go for the ball." One of you guys needs to remember to hit somebody, and then one guy goes for the ball instead of all going for the ball. Idiots.
Right. Yeah.
But no, I think special teams was fine. I don't know. I mean, unless it's Shane Beamer, I don't know that there's any one guy out there that I'm like, oh, man, special teams. You know, ironically, he had pretty good special teams. I'm just saying. You know who was pretty good at coaching special teams? Is Alabama going to be baller at special teams now?
Maybe that's the role he gets.
Just that? You can't be just special teams coordinator.
Maybe he's like special teams and the second tight end in the goal line package. Like, that's his... That's his whole role. And whoever handles wide receivers will coach the main tight end. Like, I get starting tight end and all the receivers. You coach backup tight ends and special teams.
All right. Yeah.
There was always a lot of offseason buzz about Tennessee's backup tight ends. Think about it.
Not always good buzz.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a lot of buzz.
Mm-hmm. About how they were going to dominate and, you know, run away from
linebackers. Yeah, I'll just say Charles Kelly, replaceable.
He was the safeties coach and special teams coach here.
So
Charles Kelly.
I still am very confused as to what they're going to do. Is it going to be T with quarterbacks and now Pruitt goes and coaches safeties? Is that what they're going to do? Or are they going to now bring in a safeties coach and we're still going to lose one of maybe Winky and David Johnson?
Are there more changes? Do they say Terry Fair coach the entire secondary and Pruitt will be hands-on with that group?
Do most teams have safety corner or is it just secondary? DBs,
backs.
Right? It's just DBs.
Yeah, well, okay, so it depends on the school, right? Like Lance Thompson, who left South Carolina, was outside linebackers or inside linebackers.
Yeah.
So at South Carolina,
well, a lot of times
had,
in the 3-4, you mix up your linebackers, right?
So it's the extra coach. Like everybody added one, 2 years ago or going into last year? So different teams have put the extra coach at different spots. So Tennessee has two for the four defensive backfield positions, but I think some teams still have only one coach for that, and they'll split up another position. Hell, at Washington State, they have slot receivers.
Don't you cuss at me.
And outside receivers coach.
Well, doesn't that make the most sense? I mean,
a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course.
Pretty funny.
And they don't have an OC, so they got a bunch of extra guys they can just throw around.
Well, not really. I mean, it's the same number. You know, one of those guys.
If the coach is the OC, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. One of those guys would just have the title.
Yeah, I'm just saying, sometimes the OC is just the OC. They don't have that problem.
Should we just go two?
Well, they do, but he's the head coach.
Why don't we just go two quarterback coaches? What could go wrong? Chaney and T.
Couldn't hurt.
Everybody work with the quarterbacks. Give them a million different
sets of
instructions.
I want them to go help Will Friend. I want somebody to go help him. Can Chaney help Will Friend?
Maybe that's the move.
I need to see the final shakedown. I feel like this is the coaching search for the OC. I'm not out. I just don't know yet. And as soon as I know, I'll be able to form a better opinion. This all speculation, right. You know, it happens. But there's still, I think, some pieces to move around. I mean, Auburn was interested in David Johnson. Did someone say something yesterday about Winkie and some other school? Maybe
I don't
not.
Remember.
Okay.
I don't remember anybody linking him to a specific school.
I just need to see it shake down. But they did pull, officially, Charles Kelly off the recruiting trail.
Yes, that was the news.
And put T. Martin out.
On.
So he is out spreading the good word.
George Pickens,
the gospel
come on
of
down.
Jeremy Pruitt.
I think they went in-home with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're trying to figure out when the best time is to try and get him on campus to make the big close.
Well, I think he said
Crouch style.
This weekend he's doing he canceled the bowl game, the Hawaii
Bowl.
Yeah,
there's some scuttle, though, that Tennessee wants him to go somewhere else this weekend so they get the last one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love that last visit. Big fan. You know how I feel about visits. And the last one.
Because he's committed to Auburn. It sounded like they were kind of hoping he would maybe unofficial to Auburn again. He's already officially visited there because he's going to do it anyway. So
yeah, you don't want him to go to Auburn if he's committed there on an unofficial on the last weekend.
After he's come here and you've given him your best shot. You don't want them to talk him back into it.
No, I don't need that. I don't need him going and hanging out with Bo Nix.
So we'll see. Chris Bogle's like tweeting some weird stuff. He said, like, quit DMing me about what I'm going to do, and it's just like a little...
Oh, yeah.
It was either like a this
because he hasn't
emoji,
signed yet. He just
like
announced.
Emoji, I'm not sure.
He just said, leave me alone because I... Ooh, and his coordinator just
I'm
left.
Guessing LaPoy
and
is...
And his position coach.
Yeah.
Oh, you hate to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And his primary and secondary recruiter, at least according to 24/7, are still there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. I just looked it up.
Who is his primary recruiter here?
Charles Kelly. I want to say.
Oh, really?
I thought there was no way it was going to be Charles Kelly.
How is it
Charles
Kelly?
He's not even on the recruiting trail right now.
He's not a DB.
This is terrible news.
He's a defensive end.
I want to say it's Kelly and Rump.
Okay.
Rump. Rump needs to go close the deal. IMO, JMO, IMHO.
Yeah, it was. You're right, Davey.
Charles Kelly. Yep. Probably why we're telling him bye-bye.
I haven't even heard of
can't close the deal on Bogle.
I haven't even heard of these two guys that are working him for Alabama. Joe Panunzio and Craig Kligowski. All right.
Kligowski.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of shakeup going on in the world of college football.
Clegane. Gregor Clegane.
Starts in April, is that right?
Yeah.
Can't wait.
The mountain.
Three and outs driven by Toyota Knoxville, I-40, the Lovell Road exit right there on Parkside Drive. And you can get an additional $300 off their lowest price at Toyota Knoxville. Shop online at toyotaknoxville.com. You can even ask questions right there through the website and then head to the dealership, I-40, Lovell Road exit, Parkside Drive. It's Toyota Knoxville, Knoxville's Toyota dealer. Don't encourage him, Davey.
Speaking of Queen, get it. And chess. England, you know.
Right. Yeah.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, kings and queens. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Royalty. Pew. Monarchs.
Pew. I'm all over it today.
Tutors and such.
Tell me he was kidding.
Oh, you want me to check?
Yeah, I want you to check. I think this is important.
I've already gave you the answer to this question you have.
The response was no, I couldn't tell. Was it you? I told you it wasn't. That's what made me mad.
I'm very self-conscious right now. Just wanted you to know. Nate's father just asked if that was him or me talking about chess. Can I get like a condenser on this mic that just lowers it a little bit or raises it? I really don't care.
I just want to sound like one of those serial killers maybe. Maybe I'll just go with the like...
Well, I was walking down the street, and I just saw the guy over there, and I wasn't really sure what to do about it.
Maybe I should go with witness protection interview guy.
That's what I was going for.
You're right. That would be better than actually being a convict or a future convict.
Was she a big old fat lady? Was she a great big old fat person?
You should just be Buffalo
Bill. I'll just be Buffalo Bill.
All the time.
How about that Jeremy Pruitt?
I watched Red Dragon the other day. Have you guys seen that one?
I have not.
You haven't seen Red Dragon, for real?
No.
That's the prequel, right?
The prequel.
I don't think I've seen
that one. Oh, they did such a great job with Edward Norton. Oh,
wait,
it's so good.
What was the order they came out in? Obviously, first one, and then was there a
Silence was 1990,
was there a
I believe.
Sequel, and then
Silence of the Lambs was 1990? I thought it'd be earlier than that. But no, I guess that's about right.
And then Red Dragon was the third one, or was it the second one?
How many are there? There's Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Red Dragon.
I saw Hannibal, but I think
Hannibal's
saw Red
later.
Dragon.
I think Hannibal might have been the fourth one. But what's the second one?
Silence of the Lambs, 91.
You were close. I would have thought like 84 or something. You got the order of them there, or is that just, you just look up that movie?
Hannibal's
not two, is it?
Oh, shoot. No, this is
well, there's
up,
a, there's one that's called Hannibal Lecter,
I
think.
Is pulling up the TV series, Hannibal. There's a,
oh, yeah.
I need the movie. Mm. Yeah. 2001.
Okay,
is
what
Hannibal?
How many are there? What are we looking up? One movie at a time? Why can't you just type in series or
trilogy or something like that?
I don't think it's a trilogy. I think it's four.
Okay.
Anyway, Red Dragon. That's a great one. If you haven't seen Red Dragon, I would highly recommend it. If you like Silence of the Lambs at all, you should watch Red Dragon.
It's followed by two prequels: Red Dragon 2002 and Hannibal Rising 2007.
Hannibal.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought
was followed by those two.
Yes.
So Hannibal was the second one?
This says that the Hannibal, according to Wikipedia, the Hannibal Lecter franchise is actually five movies.
Hmm?
Manhunter in 1986.
Oh, get out of here.
Then The Silence of the Lambs, 1991.
If it doesn't reference Anthony Hopkins, out.
Hannibal, 2001. That's the one I saw. And then Red Dragon, 2002. I don't think I've seen that one. Or Hannibal
Red Dragon's
Rising
good, man.
In 2007.
Red Dragon's good.
So I would say there's four, like you said. You're correct. Hannibal Rising.
The Tooth Fairy.
The newest one.
That's the name of the killer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't spoil
it. It's not his real name. That's not a spoiler.
Okay.
The Tooth Fairy.
Can't have any, like, talk sports issues on this show.
The Tooth Fairy.
I mean, we
it's
do
very scary.
We do Thrones Thursdays, we even tell people to turn their radios off. I'm pretty sure we're the first talk, or really the first radio program in the history of radio to tell people to turn their radios off. In certain
yeah,
situations.
That's probably true. Yeah. Good for us, really.
It's always good
to be confident enough
trailblazers
in our own, yeah.
In just our field.
Sure the sponsors love it.
Well, there's no
they
commercials.
They go catch it on the podcast.
Yeah, there's no commercials during that specific.
That's true. That's true.
The interior of the segment.
We just got to hope they come back. And they do.
They do.
They come back.
Yeah, they're loyal.
I'm not worried about that.
We have the best.
It's
listeners.
A great point by you.
Mm-hmm. White Stripe says the onside kick scheme was great. Execution,
I agree.
Not so much.
Sorry, I'm not going to get that caught up over a safeties coach and a special teams coordinator. I really don't care who it is. He is a good recruiter, though. I will give I'll give him that. He's been a good recruiter.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think Jeremy Pruitt's going to be the type of guy that hires somebody who doesn't do that.
My father has responded.
Yes.
Said he was doing some other stuff while listening.
See, he wasn't.
Couldn't
know,
really focus
yeah.
on who was saying what. It's not so much
that's,
a voice thing.
That,
so.
He wasn't actively listening.
Right.
Whatever helps you guys sleep at night.
We don't sound alike.
I'm about to. Davey's on thin ice. We've got new intern Ben.
Yep.
He's been just on top of everything.
He's been cracking his knuckles over there, just dying to get back in that spot. Steal it from Davey.
He even fixed my Einstein Bros. Bagels coffee this morning perfectly.
Oh, perfectly?
Yeah.
You press the button and everything?
It's not hard.
Nice.
But, yeah.
Great job. So, okay. Let's make sure. LaPoy leaving.
Yeah.
Hurts gone. He announced his destination yesterday. Chaney and Pruitt couldn't make up enough ground. And I don't know that I blame Jalen Hurts. He went exactly where I would have gone if I was him. He's going to go to Oklahoma. To 3 5-star freshman quarterbacks and probably be the third player in a row to win a Heisman from Lincoln.
Wide receivers, obviously. But
what did I say?
You said he's going to throw to 3 quarterbacks.
He could.
That's right. It's been a rough week. Every time we mention Oklahoma, we say a name wrong or a word wrong or something.
These guys and their names.
Yeah.
It's whatever. It's fine.
Let's go to the McKinney team hotline. We got to bring on the Bear.
Oh, God.
Bear, what's up?
Long time no talkie.
Long time no talk to you, fellas. Long time.
Oh yeah, because last time you called in, you called me a moron. That's why.
No,
I remember now.
After that, I apologize to you, Houston Crash.
It's probably justified.
No, I know.
We'll settle family business, baby.
Oh no, it's settled. I just remembered, so I had to remind you that I remembered.
I know what you're doing. You're trying to make me look bad in front of Davey. I don't appreciate it. But anyhow, so you're getting me off track here.
What's up, Bear?
I was waiting for you guys to see if anybody remembers. Have any of you guys seen Manhunter?
No, is it good?
It's disturbing.
Well, that
like
fits.
More disturbing than Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal and Red Dragon?
I don't know, because I stopped watching after Silence of the Lambs because it freaked me out too bad. You don't like scary movies. I'm not sure if you were. I don't watch scary movies.
Manhunter.
This really wasn't a scary movie. It was like a detective drama.
And stuff, that freaky stuff like that kind of gets in my head, man.
Yeah, serial killers, pretty weird.
94% on Rotten Tomatoes for Manhunter.
94%?
Maybe we need to go watch this.
That's ungodly on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely do.
Is anyone in it? Like, is anyone that I've heard of in it?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the... I think the guy who plays the killer thereafter is the same guy that played the preacher in Hell on Wheels. Right. You'll recognize the character. Always plays a creepy, creepy dude.
I'll check.
And then you find out. You remember how, like in Silence of the Lambs, I'm pretty sure in the movie too, they talk about the guy, the FBI profiler that kind of went nuts before Clarice.
Oh yeah,
he's the profiler going after the Red Dragon.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Red Dragon ends as Silence of the Lambs starts, like to the minute. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And then the guy who plays Lecter in Mindhunter is just creepy.
Wait, the character in Manhunter is Hannibal Lecter?
Yeah.
No, not the guy he's going after, but Hannibal Lecter is in the Red. He appears in the movie in the book.
In Manhunter.
Gotcha. Right. In Manhunter.
Yeah, he's Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Right.
Brian Cox is the actor.
Huh.
Yeah. It's just freaky. He goes throughout all those, I don't know, the freaky books, man. They're really weird to me.
Oh, it's the guy in...
James Gunn.
It's a session.
James Gunn
comes
kind of like a little mix of Sean Connery off Celebrity Jeopardy thrown in.
We need to workshop that
one a little bit more around the studio.
All right.
We're going to have to start a watch party for all four of these movies.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys tell me when the bad parts are over and I'll come out of the other room.
I guess we'll be doing without you for about 9 hours then.
Earmuffs.
There I come.
Bird box, earmuffs.
Bear, what do you have to think about it? You guys feel like the worm's turning.
Doesn't it feel like it, man? Doesn't it feel like it? Like Bama's falling apart. Rick Barnes and the boys are rolling. Jeremy Pruitt steals Georgia's offensive coordinator. They've got some issues. Kids transferring, coaches leaving.
You like how they're trying to spin it like they didn't want him?
Of course they are, and that's what they're going to do. I mean, they're right now Georgia fans are promising it's addition by subtraction on the team that led the SEC in rushing and scored 38 a game.
Yeah, remember when we used to feel like it was going to be addition by subtraction? I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody.
No, I never wanted Larry Scott. Sorry, I never signed off on Larry Scott.
I'm not talking about Larry Scott. I'm talking about Big Jim Chaney.
Wait, what?
You remember there being a huge groundswell of fan support to keep Chaney when Butch got here? Or was everybody just content just to convince ourselves?
I mean, I don't remember people like running him out of town. I mean, he beat Kentucky. It was like one of five wins we had that year. I think if Butch had kept him, people would have been pleased. He was obviously never going to do that. But I mean,
Butch would probably still be here if he'd kept him. You know, I don't know
about that.
People
complain
that he lets Pittman go.
Well, yeah, of course.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. If we'd had even a subpar defensive team when Dooley was here, with the offense that he was putting out there, hell, Dooley'd probably still be here.
Okay. I don't know about the still be here part, but he might have been here longer and won
look,
a few more
man.
Games.
How many points we put up if we had
No, I,
re-
I remember. I'm just saying I don't think that makes Dooley a great coach. I'm not I don't think he's winning the
no,
SEC.
No, I'm just saying he would have won a lot more games and wouldn't be able to get rid of it.
I don't know if he would have won that much.
I think the fact that Chaney was able to run the ball so well, granted with great talent at Georgia or at least was able to commit to it that much changes a lot of people's perspective on him now. I don't think it's just that he became greener pastures because he went somewhere else and had success. I think it's that he did it in a different style. So now he's kind of proven that if you can get him some talent, if you can buy him some good fresh groceries on the offense, no matter if they're, Derek Rogers and Tyler Bray throwing the ball over the place.
He's a chef, not a shopper.
Yeah, or if it's, Chubb and Gurley and all those guys, he can make it happen either way you want it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward. I hear you guys are doing voluntary reactions, three and out edition Saturday. That's a rumor around the radio station.
I
haven't heard that rumor.
I think it might be a more blended crew, Bear.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know, though. The media, we're trying to keep it, you know,
low-key
at this point.
I'm really disappointed.
Why is that, Bear?
I was looking forward to a three-and-out version of voluntary reaction, to tell you the truth.
Well, there might be one, but, you know, if you want my whole personal schedule.
It's a long season, bro.
I've got a big 9- and 10-year-old girls basketball game to coach on Saturday. I didn't know the schedule until.
So it's the Vol Rumor Mill voluntary reaction on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be tuned in as soon as the game goes final, Houston.
Thanks.
Duke sucks, baby.
Cool. Final segment coming right back at you. That was the Bear. You can catch him on the drive weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number one, brought to you by Knoxville Security Service. Check them out online at knoxvillesecurityservice.com. If you make the security decisions for your business or are a business owner right here in Knoxville, make sure and give them a shout, 865-368-5946. Or you can get a free quote from the website, knoxvillesecurityservice.com. All your commercial security needs right here in Knoxville. And they've done some of the biggest companies in Knoxville, all the way down to locally owned and operated businesses like ours here at Fan Run Radio. 865-368-5946. It's Knoxville Security Service. And online at knoxvillesecurityservice.com. So the big news yesterday broke in kind of a weird way. It was Jalen Hurts and a Players Tribune article where he thanked Alabama for 8 paragraphs or whatever it was, and then threw a little bit of just right in the middle, now I'm going to Oklahoma, and then right back to thanking Alabama. Even went Bama for life.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Seems like that's kind of a weird thing to do.
It was pretty strange, to say the least, and I wondered I don't know.
You wondered what?
Well, the for life thing started here with Dooley, right? So
yeah, I don't think he's the first to ever say something for life, but
true, right? That's what I mean. But the program was started here. So anyway, Jalen Hurts to Oklahoma. Of course, that started the people talking about whether they could potentially have 3 straight Heisman Trophy winners. I do wonder.
Lincoln Riley definitely right now might as touch with quarterbacks. Granted, he's had 2 super talented ones to start, but now he's got another. So it's not like he's dropping in the talent pool some crazy amount. I mean, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, I wouldn't put Jalen Hurts too far behind those guys, although I do think those two guys have a combination that's a little bit better than Hurts.
Well, it's 3 straight transfers, too. I mean, Baker Mayfield was
it's a good point.
You know, it's not his original school.
Sure.
Although Lincoln Riley, you know, was promoted to head coach during his time there. Then Kyler Murray was a transfer. And I'll be honest, like, before Kyler Murray started lighting it up at Oklahoma, I mean, he was just kind of another one of these, oh, yeah, he's really good, but he's transferred guys. So in my head, it was like, who knows if he'll actually be good? Because we've seen these guys. What was the dude that went from Notre Dame to, like, Florida? Like, and he was just awful. He came in after
Golson?
Franks in the, yeah, in that,
Everett
in, that
Golson?
In that opening game. Then there were.
No, wasn't that someone else?
I don't know. You always got him mixed up with another quarterback.
There were 2 there at the time. I didn't think it was Golson.
Yeah, it doesn't sound. I don't know. Maybe that's right, but it's anyway. I mean, how many guys have transferred and won the Heisman Trophy? Like, it just doesn't happen. I mean, there's usually some reason why a guy's transferring, and you have to try and get them over the hump or figure out a way to get them to gain their confidence back, that sort of thing. I mean, Shea Patterson transferred.
How dumb.
And again, like, he didn't.
How dumb does Kevin Sumlin look?
Light it up at Michigan. I mean, they had a decent year, and he got better as the year went on. That's typically the way it goes. Like, Joe Burrow, I mean, all these guys were supposed to be, like, studs out of high school. But Kyler Murray's been the one that, well, and Baker Mayfield in a different way, but have just eventually lit it up with Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma.
Golson went from Notre Dame to Florida State.
Right. So who was the one that went He got beat up by Michigan to start the year 2 years ago.
I keep wanting to say Malik something. Maybe I'm...
Zaire.
Was it Malik Zaire?
There you go. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Okay.
This is where you fact check us, intern Ben, and make sure that we don't say anything really stupid.
Way too late.
Yeah.
Way too late for
he'll
that.
Know for next time.
Way too late.
Wasn't that bad.
No, I mean, we for naming quarterbacks, we're good. But, I mean, usually when you hear a guy's transferring, you don't think, well, he's perfect. Right? Like, isn't that your first reaction?
Well, in fairness, though, like, Baker Mayfield wasn't when he transferred.
True.
He was, you know, he wasn't starting. So he wanted to get a look somewhere else. And he sat out his year, and then he came in and he lit Tennessee up in game two. And he never looked back. Made the playoff, won a Heisman, made the playoff again. He was just really good. Kevin Sumlin had Kyler Murray. He transfers out simultaneously with – who was the other kid? They both transferred out, and they were left with no quarterback for that year. And Kyle – was it Kyle – yeah, because Trevor Knight transferred in. That's what it was. Yeah, Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
Yikes. And then now, of course, Jalen Hurts, who – was he not in the running for the Heisman as a freshman? Was he not right in the conversation?
I feel like he was.
Okay.
I mean, my first reaction was, well, Jalen Hurts, he's not the passer that Baker Mayfield was, obviously, and
no,
Kyler Murray is.
He's not the passer that either of those guys are. So, but he's probably going to have maybe more tools and weapons around him than either of those guys. And I do think he's still good. I mean, in the SEC championship game when he came in against Georgia,
right?
But he was lights out. He was rolling out. He was throwing great passes. He did a lot of what Kyler Murray did this year, where he rolls out, nothing's there, but I'm getting 12 yards. I'm getting 8 yards. You stay ahead of the chains with a guy like Hurts. I'm not saying he's going to win a Heisman. I think that's a lot because of the skill set of the two guys that have done it before him, and his is, in my opinion, vastly different. But I still think he has a chance to be a really good quarterback there. And they're still going to be scoring a ton of points.
He was not on the ballot. Hurts was not.
I just meant like in the conversation throughout the season.
Okay.
Like not going to New York. I just remember as a freshman, he came in against USC, threw for, I don't know, like 300, a couple touchdowns, ran for a couple. I think he ran for over 200 yards against Ole Miss that year. Like he was doing things that people hadn't really seen a quarterback and certainly not at Alabama do and really in the SEC do. Like he was off to a great start. That was also the year, though, that they had maybe the greatest defense in the history of college football. So it really didn't matter.
Yeah, I think that's why he didn't get a lot of credit for
the greatness of the defense was overshadowing even the great play of the freshman quarterback.
I'm willing to pencil in Oklahoma for next year's college football playoff. I just think with
you
the
brave
addition,
soul.
Well,
wow.
I'm not going on the limb. I'm just going to say with the addition of Alex Grinch and then having Hurts come in, and what Lincoln Riley wants to do.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't think anybody in the world will argue with you right now.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, there's a lot of people saying Texas is probably going to be the team from the Big 12.
Not anymore.
That's the thing. I mean, Lincoln Riley will have to tweak his offense some for a completely different style of quarterback, I think.
I don't think it's completely different. Probably have to work with – I mean, it's a different style of offense for Hurts. That's going to be the change is how quickly he adapts.
We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number two. Next, stick with us right here. It's Fan Run Radio.